Hello and welcome to the DebtWired podcast. I'm your host, Johannes Koch, senior reporter at DebtWire. Pleased to have Florian Kluge on the show. Florian is managing director at Ardian, where he has been for the past 7 years. He oversees European investor relations and is engaged in the firm's fundraising efforts and manages relationships with investors in Germany, Austria, and the UK. Hi, Florian. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Hello, Johannes. Thank you very much for having me.
Today, we will be talking about fundraising across Europe. In particular, we will look at the market overall and across a number of asset classes. And then we'll drill down into fundraising for private debt vehicles. So let's jump right in, Florian. How is the fundraising market shaping up? I mean, we have high interest rate environment, feels like stubborn inflation too, and there are plenty of macroeconomic uncertainties, you know, wars, major elections coming up. I mean, what sort of fundraising is even possible in the current market?
Very good question. And yes, to answer with a quick answer, there is still fundraising going on. And yes, LPs are still investing in the private market space, despite what you correctly mentioned, many headwind events at once facing the industry. Investors are more cautious since the last not only 1.5 years since the war in the Ukraine started, but also obviously with the rising inflation and the interest hike followed thereafter. They are much more cautious in where putting their money. And it's, I'm not going to say the party is over, but maybe the last 15 years, over the last 15 years, it just has been too easy. And now this is more like it should be. And it is taking longer to raise funds. But I think for the good managers, it is still possible to reach their targets, their fund size targets. But all in all, it takes longer than over the last years. That is for sure.
When you say it takes longer, how have the timelines in the process been stretched? And where are some of the bottlenecks?
Looking at one of the asset classes that is of particular interest, and that is probably the one that is, I'm not going to say the easiest, but that is in highest demand in the course of 2023, is probably infrastructure on the equity side, maybe also on the debt side. In fact, we have been in fundraising with a previous vintage or generation, and for that fund, we were in fundraising for 6 months. That was obviously 3 years ago, a completely different market environment, a record time to raise a 6.5 billion fund. We are now fundraising for a 10 billion fund, and we are now in the market for, again, 6 months, and we are roughly at half of the size, a bit more than half of the size. So that shows you a bit how what I mean by it does take a bit longer. But then again, we have to also take into account we are at the end of the calendar year, and many investors, for them, it's very important in which calendar year they do actually make the allocation. So for some, the 2023 allocation is already exploited, and they are very ready to commit in 2024. So all in all, we're happy with the progress of the fundraising, not only for the infrastructure asset class. Again, you have to be more patient this time of the year.
Just out of interest, did allocations or have allocations changed compared to, say, 3 years ago? Without singling out the infrastructure fund in particular, but do you feel that allocations have changed? Are they moving things into next year as a matter of rebalancing or budgets? What's your take on that?
Very much so. Many investors, not only the regulated investors like insurance companies, but also regulated pension funds, they have, I'm not going to stress it too many times, but the denominator effect is still around. It is still limiting the intention of some of the investors who would like to commit to private markets, but just cannot due to regulatory constraints. Some other concerns or some limiting factors are the limited liquidity available, i.e. exits taking longer or not taking place at all. So there's less liquidity coming towards LP, which they then can reinvest. So these are concerns that investors are currently facing when it comes to new allocations.
Interesting. So in terms of the liquidity you mentioned, I mean, which asset classes in that case are the ones that are coming out on top, and which ones might be tougher to raise money for at present?
Yeah, very good question. So how do you want me to start? With the good, with the ones that are more attractive, or the ones that are currently very difficult to raise? Let's start with the not so popular asset classes. And I'm pretty sure it's not a surprise to you, but real estate is currently having it a bit more, it's more difficult on the equity side, at least, because of obviously interest rates having risen and everything is getting more expensive in order to finance. On the other side, you must see that prices are also coming down. And the sentiment, just the sentiment towards real estate is pretty negative at the moment, especially towards office, for example. So, and the repricing of the existing real estate portfolios for the investors is making the sentiment even worse in order to, or when looking at new allocations to the asset class, many are managing the existing portfolio and seeing revaluations taking place. But then again, investing in real estate now is probably less risky than 2 or 3 years ago, because prices have come down and the current market environment is already offering good new opportunities for the ones who are, let's say, risk affine, and obviously get the financing in place. So it is an interesting time to invest, but the sentiment is just not great for real estate. Credit, private credit, has had tremendous success over the last 12, 15 years. With the rising interest environment, other products, more liquid products, have become more attractive for many LPs because it's now liquid. You can buy, you can sell the next day if you wish to do so. It's not a buy-to-hold investment. It's not illiquid anymore, but with a much higher volatility. Private credit did see a bit of competition from the liquid side coming up again. That might change again with interest rates are stagnating at the moment. And I think investors who have invested in the last 12, 15 years in the private credit space have, to the very vast majority, made positive experience with the asset class and learned a lot about it. I would be very surprised if all by a sudden investors will say, I do not need private credit any longer. I do everything via bonds and loans and high yield only. So I think private credit will still be a very important part of the investor's overall allocation. Other asset classes in terms of, or in the private market space, are of course private equity. It has always been around. I think, as also for private credit, it is easier for the more established managers who are already raising, let's say, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh generation, than for newly established manager who have only risen one generation or have not yet demonstrated how they exited the first or the second generation. So I think the more established and even the larger managers will benefit from the current market environment. And the asset class that is probably the most attractive one is currently on the infrastructure side, because on the equity side, it does give you, in many cases, if you really invest in essential infrastructure, i.e. transportation, energy, telecommunication, then you, in many cases, have a inherent inflation hedge, which, of course, is currently something that is very important for investors. So infrastructure equity, I would say, is probably the one that is the most attractive in 2023 and likely to stay in 2024 as well.
Okay, we'll talk about private credit in just a second again. Before we move on to that, just in terms of LPs' dispositions, what are their sort of main pain points currently? What is keeping them from investing? Maybe a few words on that.
Overall uncertainty, of course. Nobody knows if we already hit the low point in the economy. I mean, we are seeing positive signs again, especially in Europe. The inflation rate is falling back. In October, it went down to 2.9%, was the lowest figure in more than 2 years. Also, the core inflation has cooled down. It is fair to say that the disinflation is clearly on track, or let's say it the other way around, inflation is retreating, hopefully for good. But nevertheless, there is still uncertainty out there. And as you mentioned in the beginning, there are geopolitical, I'm not going to say tensions, but I mean, we have serious conflicts and wars very close by, which are of course, also putting pressure on the overall sentiment and the economic development in many of the developed countries. So uncertainty again, that is the main concern that LPs do not know. Have we seen the worst, or is a good part of the correction still ahead of us? Then, as I already mentioned, the limited budgets available for private market asset classes, limited liquidity. These are the main points which I would like to mention in terms of the pain points.
In terms of limited liquidity, are you seeing sort of new entrants as LPs? I think there's been some talk of, you know, corporates coming into the market as well, or other institutions. Are there any developments there that you see that could add more liquidity to some of those fundraising efforts?
Well, at least in Europe, corporates have always been active investors, predominantly the very large pension funds of corporates. Yes, they have also seen the positive, not only return, but also diversification effects of private markets investment in their portfolio. So they are still there. They are due to stay. And they are definitely a source of additional liquidity where liquidity is currently not so vast amongst the more regulated investors like insurance companies.
And what sorts of returns are LPs requesting? Are they requesting higher returns?
I think they are. Many of the investors who are invested in the private market space are very experienced. They are very realistic what is achievable and what is rather unrealistic. In the private equity space, obviously, returns have come down over the past years because the space has become more crowded. The inefficiencies, the positive inefficiencies from which you could then make your returns have decreased. It is since many years. It's not only a result of the last 2 years and the interest rate environment, but the ability to generate returns by only using leverage has already come down significantly over the past years. And the emphasis had to be laid on operating performance. So LPs would not expect higher returns in the private equity space, at least from primary investments. For secondary funds, yes, this is a very attractive field currently because the secondary market is being used, again, not only for investment purposes, but also to free up liquidity from investors who want to be able to invest in newly established primary funds. And by giving limitations on the liquidity side, they use the secondary market to sell off some of their well-performing funds in the portfolio to take money off the table, to free up the liquidity in order to still stay with their trusted GP relationships in order to commit in future vintages.
Speaking of leverage, and maybe we come to private debt vehicles next. I think fundraising for private debt has been doing extremely well past, and more so probably for established funds, right? I mean, there's some statistic out there that just 10 firms, alternative asset managers, account for roughly 40% of the private credit fundraising. And that's in the last 24 months. I mean, some might say growth will be disproportionately in favor of those funds. What do you make of this? And to what extent will fundraising in the private debt class continue? Have we reached a sort of peak fundraising for private debt?
I think we have seen a peak in the course of last year, or maybe in 2023. It always depends, obviously, which funds of the large established managers are in raising, but they have come back in record time in recent years. And as I said, there were headwinds from other asset classes. However, the need for private debt funds in order to finance leveraged buyouts is larger than ever. The banks are not back. We do, and at least in Germany, we do see arising initiatives from smaller cooperative and savings banks who put together syndicates in order not to lose some of their established Mittelstands client to the private debt funds. But at the end of the day, a private debt fund can, depending on the size, of course, can always, or in many cases, provide larger tickets. Also, and that is very important for many of the sponsored debt or the leveraged buyouts can not only provide acquisition finance for an M&A transaction, but also future liquidity for a buy and build strategy, something that banks are very reluctant to do so. And if they do so, they would need a new due diligence, probably would have to add additional banks to the syndicate. And that is something you will always turn to private debt funds for because of the larger ticket sizes, the much greater flexibility. So private debt funds are here to stay.
You say banks are not back. I mean, maybe another point to consider is that banks are teaming up with private credit funds in some cases or starting their own dedicated private credit funds. What do you think, what impact will that have on fundraising? And will that potentially add to the asymmetry that we're seeing with larger and the somewhat smaller debt funds competing out there?
Yeah, we are seeing that as well, that banks are trying to take the senior piece in transactions, in financing structures. It depends on the manager. We like to do our deals alone. Makes us quicker, more flexible. So we are not the greatest fans of first in, first out pieces. But this is something where banks sometimes play a useful role in the eye of the sponsor. It does make the financing a bit cheaper as well. Is it the future? To be seen. And as I said, it always depends on the private debt fund if they wish to team up with banks, if they have to team up with banks. It's a nice move from the banks to still stay in the business and not to completely give it up to the benefit of the private debt funds, I believe.
And just to close the circle here, one last point. Aren't some LPs getting out of private debt as their positions are outsized given the returns?
I would say it again depends on the manager they have invested with. There are many funds in Germany alone. I think we are speaking about 150 debt funds in the market. I could not give you the name of more than, let's say, 50 or 60. So there must be many out there who are new entrants to the market. And I fear that some of them will have it very difficult or will have difficult times to raise a new or a next generation of funds because they, as I said earlier, they have probably not yet shown that they can also exit their loans, which sometimes are longer now in terms of the duration. And some have also difficulties within their portfolio. So here it also entails, or you need to demonstrate that you also have workout experience. Some of the funds have only seen the last 12 years a blue sky scenario where it was very difficult to lose money. This has changed. You also need to now demonstrate that if, for whatever reason, you have a problem case in your portfolio, you need to demonstrate to your investors that you can take care of it and not just let it go bankrupt.
Thank you, Florian. That was extremely insightful.
I thank you, Johannes.
And thank you also to our audience. Please help us by liking, sharing, and subscribing to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Auf Wiedersehen. Bye.